Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. As always, I'm here every week, your host, Nick Capozzi, and joined, as always, by my sidekick every week, all the way from the... What state is actually, I guess technically North Carolina, JB. What state is that? Is that the what state?
First in flight.
Okay, I know that's on the license plate, but is it like, you know, if I come in, if I say something like all the way from the first in flight state, does that work for you?
I think so. I'm pretty sure that's right.
What is it for South Carolina?
I don't know. There are hillbillies here.
Oh, you know, when you're from North Carolina and you talk that way about South Carolina.
I know where this is going.
No, when I used to work on cruise ships, actually, I used to dock sometimes in Charleston, South Carolina. Let me tell you.
Oh, that's a very nice city. That's a very, very nice city.
There were fewer things in the South that impressed me, like biscuits and gravy. So I will say that.
Did you have shrimp and grits?
I did not. I have not yet had that delicacy, but I'm sure at some point I will. Anyway, we are already way off topic, but that's how we like to roll here on the Razzball Football Podcast. We are talking fantasy football. If you found us on iTunes, the site is razzball.com. Just click on the football icon, and that's where you're going to find all your tips, tricks, and other goodness to win your fantasy football pool. JB, I'm just curious, how many columns, not to put you on the spot here, but how many columns are you writing a week right now for Razzball.com?
I'm actually just doing the one, just my last second decisions. We also do the podcast, and then I post that. So, but it's just the one column of last second decisions from me.
Interesting. And, you know, I have read your column, and it's quite good. I don't care what everyone else says about your writing, JB. I like it.
I actually get more overwhelming support than bashing most of the time. So I must be doing something right. And Razzballers are notoriously known for bashing the wrong calls.
No, Razzballers are notorious for bashing Gray and Rudy. But this is the football wing. This is like a whole different... It's just different.
It's gentlemanly.
Yeah, it's not where I was going, but...
Okay.
All right, so listen, we are going to get you through the podcast today. We're going to take you through JB's ups and downs in games this week. We do have a few topics to discuss going into it, and let's get right into that, Mr. Big Carolina from the first in flight state. Maurice Jones-Drew, the injury. We're obviously taping this on a Tuesday, so most likely your waiver wires will be done by then. But is Rashawn Jennings worth the ad, and at what cost? And I ask that because... the latest is that Maurice Jones-Drew might be out a couple weeks. Apparently, he's avoiding surgery. Hasn't had a great start yet, but people paid a lot for him on draft day. So sum up for me what you think about Maurice Jones-Drew.
I think the injury is definitely serious, and it leaves a little sour taste in your mouth if you had Darren McFadden last year. You know, you got a foot injury. They say, oh, we'll just miss a week, maybe two, and then all of a sudden it's the season. Now, I don't think that's going to happen with Maurice Jones-Drew. However, I do think Jennings is worth a really high ad if you're in a league with Fab. I think he's worth almost all of what you have left. especially if you're feeling pretty good about your roster and you just lost MJD. You know, Jennings is pretty good. He's not an elite player. However, he will be the lead back for an NFL team, and that's more than what a lot of teams offer. I think he's really worth the money.
Yeah, but Donald Brown is a lead back for an NFL team. You know,
but it's not anymore.
Well, okay, he should be back next week. But aside from the injury, because here's the counter to that argument. If Maurice Jones-Drew, with the quarterback play they've been getting and lack of skill position players, injury or not, was off to such a slow start, I just have a hard time, unless, you know, he's coming in with fresh legs and it's a different story, I have a hard time seeing Rashad Jennings coming in and giving you any kind of production that is startable in a week other than bye weeks.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. However, if you lost Maurice Jones-Drew, you probably don't have two or three other backs that are going to lead you to your championship. You need someone that is just going to get those bulk touches. And hopefully Blaine Gabbert improves a little bit. I think Jennings, you know, yeah, he'll have a lot of those 20-carry, 40-yard games, but, you know, throw in a touchdown. You know, also, he had 7 catches last week. I think he's going to be used a lot in that offense, and I think you just need those bulk touches when you lose your first-round pick.
Would you trade Maurice Jones-Drew right now to someone who maybe has a little bit more roster flexibility and try and capitalize, especially if you're on the outside looking in a playoff situation?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, the Darren McFadden foot injury, yeah, it just – and add to that that Maurice Jones-Drew might not be a Jaguar next year. I think he's given the team enough that where they're not going to just make him play, obviously. I don't think he wants to risk his career coming back and having a worse foot injury and missing time next year and lose out on all that contract money he's going to get in the offseason wherever he goes.
All right, fair enough. Now, I got chirped a lot by you on Saturday when Chris Johnson was tearing up the Buffalo Bills. It was the Buffalo Bills, and you know, to be honest with you, that weighs a lot in what I'm thinking right now. But I'm not a believer, so obviously you're more a believer than I. Convince me that Chris Johnson is going to have running back one, maybe high-end running back two value the rest of the season.
Let's take a little step back here. I was a huge believer in this game, or I should say last week's game, because the Bills' run defense has been atrocious, and we've seen them get gashed all throughout the year. And I just had a feeling Chris Johnson was going to have a big one, and he had one of the best fantasy days of the week by the first quarter. He is not someone that I think is going to be running back one worthy. I think he's a solid mid running back two, which is fine. It's not what you paid for, but given how bad he started, I think he's going to be okay. We've seen that he can still have big games against better defenses like he did against the Texans in week 4. Also, the Titans play Jacksonville twice in the second half of the season. Jaguars run defense, not very good. The second time they play is week 17. If your league is in a 17-team league or 17-week season where that's your Super Bowl, that's a good matchup.
Okay, listen, that's fair. Well, let's actually look at the schedule upcoming. So next week they've got the Colts, then the Bears, which is a bad matchup. The Dolphins, not a good matchup. They do have the Jags. Texans, terrible matchup. Colts again. Jets. Packers, oy. You know what? Maybe you can look at the Colts games and the Jaguars games, but the rest of them they're ugly.
Well, he was fine against the Texans last time they played. He's going to be worked in the passing game here and there. I know he's not catching as much as he has before in his career. He is the lead back. Jamie Harper, yes, he did vulture 2 touchdowns last week, but it's not like he's going to vulture touches. I think he's going to be fine. He's not going to lead you in your running backs the rest of the year. If he's your running back one, you're in trouble. But I think he's going to be fine as your second running back, your flex.
Who would you rather have rest of the season, Steven Jackson or Chris Johnson?
Chris Johnson.
Interesting.
Steven Jackson's beat up, you know, multi-running back system now with Richardson kind of emerging.
Well, and Richardson was actually the next guy I want to talk to because, believe it or not, he is still available in some leagues. Which upside running back would you rather own rest of season? Jonathan Dwyer from Pittsburgh, who had a great game against Cincinnati, or Darrell Richardson?
I think it's clearly Darrell Richardson. You know, Richardson's really working his way. He's averaging over 5 yards carry, or at least he was before heading into last Sunday. You know, Dwyer, you know, he did show us something last week. putting up over 100 yards, but Redman and Mendenhall are both going to be back. They're all going to get touches once they're back on the field. I think Richardson's going to solidify his role as getting half the carries, and Steven Jackson has shown that he can't get hurt. I like Richardson a lot more.
All right, next guy I want to talk about is might be the only – well, no, I've got two good players in the Razzball Writers League. Although the Podcast Kings did – get a win, and we're now 3-4. Actually, you know what's really interesting about that league? If I'm not mistaken, it's a 12-team league. You've got one team that might be 6-1, one team that's maybe 1-6, and then everyone else is either 4-3 or 3-4. So I'm still in the discussion, but I have pretty much two good players. One is my man Percy Harvin. The other is a guy who I was worried about earlier in the season, but he has come on very strong, Mr. Jordy Nelson. What do you think about Jordy Nelson going forward? Where do you rank him?
I think he's the top 6 or 7 wide receiver the rest of the way. I think really? We're really seeing that offense click the way it was supposed to. They had some really tough matchups early on. The offensive line's a little bit of a question mark, so when they're facing those really tough defenses like they did the first 3 weeks of the season, it's going to make things a little iffy. I think when Greg Jennings comes back, it's only going to help. I think he's going to be a solid, solid top wide receiver for you.
And what about Larry Fitzgerald? I mean, I'm kind of surprised how much success he's managed to have this year. I think he's got 40 catches, about 400.5 yards, 450-ish yards, but only a couple touchdowns. Is there any chance of him getting some more red zone consistency, or are they just such a mess there? I mean, they're even talking about maybe bringing Vince Young in. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald should play quarterback.
Yeah, he's probably their best player quarterback right now. I don't think he is going to find that consistency. There's a big reason I was down on him heading into drafts, and it's not because he's not talented, but there's no talent throwing him the ball, and he was going way too early. There's just not a good enough team, and they play in a division that's all defense-based, and it's not going to turn into those shootouts where you can expect him to have 3 or 4 weeks in a row with touchdowns.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, one thing I've been doing is, you know, there's still a few weeks before the trade deadline approaches, but I find at this point in the season, once you're 6-7 weeks in, you can definitely start to pinpoint, you can do it earlier, but with some degree of accuracy, what defenses are looking like the rest of the season. So I'm starting to really try, if I'm making deals, base them on teams that have really good matchups. Now, in one league, we'll get to Cam Newton in a second. I have Cam Newton. So what I did actually today was I went out and I made a deal to get Peyton Manning. And the reason I did that is Peyton Manning's week 14, 15, and 16 schedule is Oakland, Baltimore, and Cleveland, which arguably right now might be three of the juiciest matchups, at least on paper. So Demaryius Thomas, if you can get him. Eric Decker, if you can get him. How do you look at it? Are you now, and I might over-prepare for the playoffs, but what degree should you be kind of staring down at the playoff matchups that are coming up? How do you handle that, JB?
I think we're still, you know, we're only 7 weeks into the season, and matchups can change based on injuries very quickly. I mean, you look at Baltimore as that week 15 matchup, and, you know, obviously going into the year, you're like, oh, that's not looking too good for the first week of my playoffs if your playoffs are starting then. But then they lose their best two defensive players in Ray Lewis and Ladarius Webb, and all of a sudden now it's looking like a great matchup. So I'm going to answer your question in two parts. First, you know, you go back even past those 4 weeks, the rest of their season, New Orleans, Bengals, Panthers, Chargers, Chiefs, Bucks, none of those pass defenses really scare you at all. So I definitely think Peyton Manning's a great target based on schedule as it is. I plan for it a little bit, but usually if I'm happy with my players and their role on my team, I think that they're going to be fine even if the matchup looks bad on paper at this point.
I think too, specifically, and this will lead into our next question about quarterbacks having a bad year, but a lot of people drafted Peyton Manning as a backup. And now that you might have a few teams that have gone through bye, they're sitting there with the quarterback thinking he has some sort of value. I think now would be a good chance to go and get Peyton Manning if you're dealing with someone like Cam Newton. What's your panic level on Cam? And then second to that, would you rather have him, Vic, or Stafford rest of season? Actually, rank those three guys rest of season for me, and then tell me how you feel about Cam going forward.
I think you ranked him how I would rank him. I'd still rank him Cam, Vic, then Stafford. I am a little worried with Cam. However, I think he is the best fantasy option of those three because Vic just is a turnover machine. We still haven't seen the Eagles click, and you know my thoughts on Matthew Stafford, and those continue.
You know, I will tell you, I have to give you some sort of award. If Stafford continues to play the way he's played so far this year, you were bang on in the preseason, really down on him. So good call there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, I think Matthew Stafford's a really cool guy. I actually kind of like the Lions. I kind of cheer for him. I love Calvin Johnson, seeing him play, but he's just way overvalued. And we saw them just get absolutely murdered by the Bears on national television.
Fair enough. All right, let's start talking about the games this week. And the Thursday night game is one that in the preseason maybe didn't look that interesting, but I think today Tampa Bay at Minnesota might actually be a really interesting game. Who are you up on in this game?
I really like Doug Martin. I've talked about him a couple times, both on the podcast and in my article, Last Second Decisions, coming out on Sunday around 10 a.m. You know, there are rumors of Blunt, you know, getting really good practices in there. Greg Schiano was raving about him. You know, he vultured two touchdowns in two straight games. It looked like he was working his way back into the mix. And then last week, 5 carries for -2 yards, can't score from the goal line. Martin has 16 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. I think he's one of those people that if you're targeting people, he's someone to look for if you can try to get him on the cheap.
Are you not concerned with Martin going against that Minnesota defensive line?
You know, I'm not. We've seen Minnesota's run defense be shaky here and there. Last week, they were iffy. I'm trying to pull up their number. They gave up the 100 yards to Lerod Stevens-Howling, someone who I never thought we'd talk about on this show because I thought William Powell was taking over that backfield. So I think they can be beat.
All right. Who are you down on in this game?
It's kind of an easy pick, but I'm going to say Christian Ponder. You know, it looked like he was turning into fantasy relevance, but, you know, 8 for 17 for 58 yards in a win last week, and the Vikings have shown that they do not need to pass the ball to win. Adrian Peterson, obviously a beast. Their defense can keep teams, can keep the game close, even if the Vikings offense isn't running it. He's... Even in a two-quarterback league, you don't want to use them even as a bye-week fill-in.
All right, fair enough. Let's get to the Sunday games. Kicking off at 1 o'clock is the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. Tell me who you're up on.
I wrote about him as a bench because I just did not think he was a very good NFL player. But Vic Ballard, man, surprised me last week. 80 yards on the ground, 19 yards on a catch as well, almost 100 total yards. I think the Colts focused a little bit on running the ball against the Browns, trying to get a more balanced offense. I think the Colts can win this game if they play well and have a balanced offense. Again, I think they do that same in this game with Donald Brown out.
What do you think when Donald Brown comes back? Is there a chance that they might be splitting some carries there, or do you feel that it'll be just Donald Brown carrying the mail?
I think they're going to be splitting carries.
All right. Who are you down on in this game?
I really liked him in this game. This was another person I wrote about in my article, but Kendall Wright, you know, he was really working his way into that offense, getting, you know, 6 catches a week or so. And in a game that turned out to be a shootout, like everyone thought, only 3 catches for 19 yards. Now, given the Tennessee passing attack didn't really give you the fantasy glory that everyone else was thinking that all 3 receivers would have in Washington and Britton Wright, but you know, it doesn't look like he's as integral a part of that offense as we thought. I think he's a leave out even in deeper leagues.
All right, I'm actually going to turn around on that one. I think not only is Kendall Wright absolutely legit and I think an underrated possession receiver with lots of upside, I actually think he's going to have a big game against the Colts. So I got a feeling you and I will be tweeting? I don't know.
Tweet baiting.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that sounds wrong. No, let's skip, pass.
All right, Kendall Wright's going to have a big game against Indianapolis, so you're wrong.
All right.
All right, next up is the San Diego Chargers at Cleveland. Boy, this one has all the makings of a big game. All right, who are you up on in San Diego, Cleveland?
I don't think it'll be that close. I think the Chargers win in this one. But, you know, Brandon Whedon, I'm up on him. 3 straight games of 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. And when you're, you know, at this backup level quarterbacks, that's you know, you can't ask for much more. The Chargers do give up the seventh most points to opposing quarterbacks. Josh Gordon's really emerging as a deep threat, really helping out stretch out defenses. I like him here.
Who don't you like?
And this is kind of an easy call as well, but Trent Richardson, man, he killed a lot of fantasy owners last week. 8 carries for 8 yards. The rib injury obviously limiting him. Coach Pat Shurmur is saying they're going to monitor him through practices to see if they're going to even play him this week. I think even if he's going to be active, I would either bench him or have him as my flex if I didn't have any better options.
Actually, last thing I just heard today was that he might miss 2 weeks, actually. So if that is correct, how do you like Montario Hardesty in this game?
Montario Hardesty has played with fantasy owner souls for too long. Maybe a flex is a fill-in, but that's about it.
Listen, if you put your soul on the line in a deal with Montario Hardesty, you've got no one to blame but yourself.
That's a good point.
No, fair enough. All right, what about the Washington Redskins at Pittsburgh Steelers? I'd be curious to see how my man RG3 does in Pittsburgh. Tell me who you like in this game.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting game. Hopefully, I will get a lot of it on Red Zone. But I like Heath Miller. You know, the Redskins giving up the second most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. Hey, quick question for you. Where does Miller rank among fantasy scoring of tight ends?
I think you're going to surprise us with an answer here. Tell me.
He's fourth.
Wow.
Just kind of hard to believe behind Gronkowski, Tony Gonzalez, and Owen Daniels. That really surprised me when I looked up that stat. So he's really getting a lot more work than I think people are expecting or even noticing. I think he's worth a play here.
Well, you know why, and the reason is because they kept for years. Everyone thought that Heath Miller was going to turn into a star receiving tight end. I mean, you want to talk about playing with souls. So I can see why it's a little bit shocking that he's as high as he is. That being said, I just don't see him keeping it up. Who are you down on?
We talked about him earlier, but I think a lot of people are going to have unrealistic expectations for Jonathan Dwyer and think that they can use him as a flex in this game. I think he's a pretty good running back. I think he's better than Isaac Redmond, but it looks like both Redmond and Mendenhall are going to be back, or at least
might be back.
Yeah, it's optimistic for both of them, I believe. Even if one of the two is back, I don't want anything to do with Jonathan Dwyer, and he's still only a flex if both are gone again.
All right, yeah, not much going on in that game. Although, well, that's not true. I actually, you know what? Let me completely turn around on that. I think this actually might be one of the better games to watch on Sunday. So, yeah, I hope you've got your Red Zone ready. You hooked on it now? You're in.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I still usually watch the Panthers games.
Why?
But after I gouge my eyes out and then reapply them back into the sockets, I go back to Red Zone. So
that was quite the graphic statement.
Yeah, I try.
All right, what about the Miami Dolphins at New York Jets? I think this might be an interesting game. I mean, the Jets showed a little bit of fight last week. Miami's been better than people expected. They've had a bye week to rest up. Who are you up on in this game?
Yeah, and this is going back to playing with souls, but Sean Green, I'm not exactly huge on him. I'm not putting myself out on the line like I did with Chris Johnson last week, but he actually looked decent against the Patriots. He scored a touchdown. It's a tough matchup, but I do think he's still usable in this one, and that's higher praise than I usually give for him.
All right, who don't you like in this game?
And I've written about him as a bench the past 2 weeks, and I've been right both times, but it's Brian Hartline. You know, no catches last week, or 2 weeks ago. Dolphins had a bye last week. But, you know, Rogers Cromartie he's playing really well. And with Revis out, he's going to be all over Hartline. I don't see him doing too much in this game.
Interesting. What do you think of Hartline rest of season?
I think he's a wide receiver 3.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Who occasionally gives you a goose egg.
Exactly. Kind of a hit or miss play.
And like my man Kyle Rudolph did last week. What happened, Kyle?
That was brutal. I don't know if you noticed, but in our Riders League, I traded for him because I had Jacob Tammy, and I just dropped him because I needed to fill in while the Broncos were on bye. Traded Macklin for him. I know it was probably a little too much to give up, but I figured I needed someone, and then goose egg.
All right, we'll see what he does this week. Next up is the Seattle Seahawks at Detroit Lions. Tell me who you like.
And I think I've picked him as one of my ups either last week or the week before, but I like Sidney Rice in this one. You know, maybe this is kind of silly thinking, but, you know, back in the dome, you know, he really emerged in the Vikings in the Metrodome. He's seen the Detroit defense before, given it's going to be a little different. But he's still the Seahawks' number one target against an iffy secondary. I think he has a usable game here.
All right, who are you down on?
As I wrote in my article last week, I've used my Matthew Stafford bench or down quota, so I'm not – I'm just going to say all Detroit Lions because, you know, Mikel LeShour fumbles in the red zone. Calvin Johnson has a terrible game. That's just a mess of a team, and they're playing Seattle, a very tough defense yet again. It's just – I mean, obviously you're starting Calvin Johnson, and unless you have a good backup, you're probably starting Matthew Stafford. But other than that, you know, no one.
Well, Sky, actually, one of the writers and I believe the editor at Razzball Football, actually in the Writers League, is trying to trade me RG3, and he's trying to rake me over the coals by doing so because I have Matthew Stafford. And what did I learn? I should listen to you when next year you're really down on a quarterback going into the season.
True story.
All right, here's a game that could get ugly quick. Jacksonville at Green Bay. Is there anyone you're up on here? At least from a Jacksonville point of view?
From Jacksonville? Oh, you tricked me there. No, I'm not really up on anyone on Jacksonville, but I do like Alex Green, you know, the new running back for the Packers. You know, Jaguars give up the third most amount of points to opposing fantasy running backs. And they've already had their bye. So, I mean, that's just a real bad defense. Yeah, Green had 20 carries for only 35 yards last week. But, you know, two straight weeks of 20-plus carries since Benson has gone down. Plus, he had four catches for 29 yards last week. I think he has a big game here.
That's really interesting. Who are you down on?
This is probably going to come back and bite me, but I'm down on James Jones. He had an okay game last week, you know, and then 3 weeks before that, two touchdowns each. I just still don't have any faith in him. I think this is going to be an easy blowout for the Packers. I don't think they use Jones that much.
All right, next up, I hate even bringing this game up to you because I hate seeing 6'8" men cry, but the Carolina Panthers are going to Chicago. Chicago. Defense that has been reminiscent of the 85 Bears. I mean, that might get ugly.
It's hard to cry when your eyes are already gouged out, like I've already said.
All right, who do you like in this game?
And this is obviously someone that's going to be played in all leagues, but I really like Matt Forte. I'm going to go as high and say that he's probably a top three or top two running back play this week. Last year, 205 yards plus 29 yards through the air against Panthers. You know, Panthers run D is not any better than it was last year. He's just going to go off in this one.
And let me guess who you're down on. All the Panthers.
All the Panthers. Hey, how'd you get it? I guess I ruined that by putting all the Panthers. But, yeah, I mean, Cam Newton, talk about a tall person crying. He did that in the press. We saw, you know, the GM, Marty Herney, getting fired. You know, Newton and Steve Smith are marginally startable at best, and then that's it. And you're not happy with either of those plays as it is.
I got a feeling this might get ugly.
Yeah, where's Jake DeLome? Bring Jake DeLome in.
All right. Next up, fresh off a bye, is the Atlanta Falcons. They go into Philadelphia. Who are you up on in this game?
Yeah, this is a real interesting matchup. Both teams coming back on byes. I know the Falcons are 6-0. They're looking great, but their offense has had a little bit of some trouble the past couple weeks. We all know the troubles that the Eagles are having. That's everywhere. But I think Michael Vick has an interesting game here. I think he's going to be useful. You know, an extra bye week to kind of get that offense in sync. If he can just hold on to the ball, you know, I think he's going to have a good game.
Interesting. Who are you down on rest of season? Or not rest of the season. Who are you down on in this game?
And like I said, you know, the bye week, you know, the Eagles firing Juan Castillo, the defensive coordinator. I think that the Eagles defense, they play tough. I think they win the line of scrimmage. I'm down on Michael Turner. I think the Eagles really limit him in this game.
All right, next up is a game that I think actually might be pretty interesting to watch on television. The New England Patriots go to St. Louis to take on the Rams. Who are you up on in this game?
And I've got a real good deep play for you, but Chris Givens, you know, here's an interesting stat, 50 plus yards in four straight weeks. And wow. There's a lot of receivers that are not going to be on that list. Calvin Johnson, one of them after last Monday night. But, you know, the Rams going to be at home, you know, indoor environment, obviously. Bradford's going to have to throw a lot to keep up with the Patriots. We've seen the Patriots secondary get burned a lot. I think he has a good game here.
All right. Who are you down on in this game?
It's Brandon Lloyd. You know, what a terrible one catch game last week. I've been down on him since week one after he dropped that wide open pass. I think he's got a little bit of some doubts or something. I don't know, but he just is not gelling with that offense like a lot of people thought. While I do think this game will be interesting, I do think the Patriots get a lead and have a lead for most of this game, and that leaves Lloyd out.
All right, fair enough. We've got two afternoon games this week, so it is a very short table. Actually, we got lucky last week because both the Jags and Raiders and Patriots and Jets went to overtime. It wound up being two very close games. Might not be that close this week in the afternoon games. Oakland goes to Kansas City. Who do you like in this game?
I like Denarius Moore, and he's... Yep. Yeah, I think we're both on the same page on this one. He's quickly turning into one of my favorite receivers to watch. He is just really, really good.
Absolutely.
I did not like him much entering this year because mainly because I just didn't like any of the Oakland receivers because it's just a mess of different guys. You know, you had Rod Streeter emerging, obviously Darius Haywood-Bey and Denarius Moore. Plus, you know, we didn't really know when Jacoby Ford might get back in the fold, if he would. But now he's obviously their number one. Carson Palmer's throwing the ball a lot. I like him in this game a lot.
Who are you down on in this game?
I'm down on Darren McFadden. You know, not a good game last week against that bad Jacksonville run defense. Like I said, you know, they're giving up the second most points to opposing running backs and had a bye and still were able to limit them last week. Other than Denarius Moore, I kind of think this game is just going to be a real tough divisional matchup. I think it's going to be kind of a fantasy black hole. Brady Quinn versus Carson Palmer. That's not really inspiring much confidence of too many points scored. I know Palmer's getting a lot of yards, but I think this is going to be one of those like 15 to 6 games or something like that.
All right. Interesting. The other late afternoon game should be interesting. It's the New York Giants going to Dallas. Who do you like in this game?
Now, this is going to sound kind of stupid, but I obviously like Victor Cruz, and I only bring him up here because we've been debating who is the best fantasy receiver, and we both picked AJ Green a couple weeks ago. You know, I obviously said I liked Roddy White as the best overall, you know, NFL receiver, but where do you think Victor Cruz is for the rest of the year for you?
Listen, Victor Cruz has definitely established himself. I thought when coming into the season that you would be paying for what he did last year if you drafted him. This year, he has been neck and neck with AJ Green, who I think has been the top receiver. You know, Harvin's in the discussion, Vincent Jackson of late, and Jordy Nelson is also still, you know, you could banner about. You know what? I think because of the offense and how Manning is using him, I think Victor Cruz is a 7, 8, 9 overall receiver. And the only reason that I'll tell you why. Nicks has been injured. Nicks, I think, if we're talking pure talent, I think Hakeem Nicks is on this, is one level below the AJ Greens and Calvin Johnsons. I think once Nicks gets fully rotated back into that offense and start having some big games again, I think Cruz is going to regress just a little bit. So all I'm saying is I still think Cruz is elite. I have no problem with him being a number one receiver on a good team, on a good fantasy team. I just think once there's more balance to that receiving core, I just think you'll claw back 10, 15, maybe even 20% of the production he's had. That's all I'm suggesting. You think I'm crazy for saying that?
No, I don't think you're crazy, but I would just marginally disagree. I think he's top five, but not number one or two.
Okay, well, so. You tell me. It's a fresh draft today. Who are the? Tell me the six receivers. Well, give me your top six today.
Number one is going to be AJ Green. I think that's still going to surprise some people, but I still think number two is Calvin Johnson, yep. Despite what Matthew Stafford's done.
Yep.
So,
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's PPR, I might even consider Harvin as third. I mean, I know you love Harvin.
The only thing that we're not seeing so far from Harvin that gets him into the elite class of what Cruz and Green and Jackson and Nelson have done is the touchdowns aren't there yet. But that being said, you know, he's got a rushing TD, he's got a return TD. Once he starts getting more in the passing offense, which I think will happen, you know, he could wind up with 12, 14 TDs. It's possible by end of season, and that puts Harvin right up there for me.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's questionable at third. You know, Jordy Nelson might be fourth, right up there with Roddy White for me. I tell you, Vincent Jackson probably is barely top 10 for me. You know, he's having a good year, but only 27 catches so far. And you look at all these other guys that are in the top 10, they've all got 40 to 50. I just don't think Jackson's going to keep it up the way he's going right now.
I think one guy, too, that might surprise a lot of people that I'm not saying I would take him over Cruz. I think I'd probably take Cruz. But if I was one or two beers in and I was feeling a little ballsy, I might take Demaryius Thomas over Victor Cruz.
See, I disagree with you there because, you know, I like Eric Decker. I do think they're a lot more even than I thought they were going to be. I thought Decker was going to kind of run away with the best wide receiver on that team, fantasy-wise, at the beginning of the year. I just don't think Thomas is at that level.
Yeah, I think Thomas could be a top five receiver for the next 5 years. I think it's possible.
Man, he's going to get in your hot tub with David Wilson pretty soon, isn't he?
We had this discussion. There are no men in my hot tub, all right? Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just I prefer the fairer sex in my hot tub. Okay, who are you down on in the Giants at Cowboys?
You know, I think I might have heard your phone buzz. I think I may have heard that was David Wilson texting you, being sure if I said it was David Wilson who I'm down on. You would yell at me for him. Said, "Can you clarify this?"
I'm going to be David Wilson neutral for the next few weeks.
But I'm down on Felix Jones. Look, he's probably going to be starting again. It's looking like Murray's out. I know this is a tougher matchup than last week, so it's obvious to see that he's probably going to regress. But he just did not look impressive against my Panthers. Like I said, I watched most of that game. I think he's a very low-level flex play at best.
He's terrible. Right, yeah. Let's just move on. He doesn't warrant any more conversation. The Sunday night game, I think also might be a real interesting game, is the New Orleans Saints at the Denver Broncos. Tell me who you like in this game.
Yeah, this is going to be an awesome shootout. I'm really excited for this game. And because of that, I'm up on Lance Moore. You know, he led the Saints in catches last week, 25 targets the past 2 weeks. And when you're getting that kind of attention from Drew Brees, you're going to have some good games. I like him a lot in this game.
Who are you down on?
And it's really hard to pick someone I'm down on because virtually every other fantasy relevant player I think is going to have a great game. But Jimmy Graham, you know, if he's active in this game, and it's also the fact that he's probably going to be questionable, so you're not going to know for sure until the Sunday at 8 o'clock game time. I wouldn't trust him unless for some reason they put him at probable by, you know, the end of Friday practices. If he's active and you know that, obviously he's the top option. But if you have a good backup, I'd want to play him. And if he's questionable, you probably got to think about playing a backup as it is.
All right, I just want to throw this out at you. Let's just say Demaryius Thomas, you know, had 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns in that Saints game, which I think is absolutely possible. He would be right there point-wise with A.J. Green and Victor Cruz, who have not had their bye weeks yet. So maybe I am.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe I'm not so crazy. I'm not so crazy.
Yeah, right. That's what crazy people always say, though.
And they say they're not crazy. I'm saying maybe I'm not crazy. All right, last game of the week is the Monday Nighter. It is the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. Boy, the Cardinals make me crazy. They look so good. They look so bad. Tell me who you're up on in this game.
We talked about him briefly earlier, and I'm not saying he's a huge play and someone you're going to play, no questions asked, but I am a little bit up on the Rod Stevens-Helling. You know, it was not a good matchup last week against the Vikings, and he put up 100 yards out of nowhere. This is also not a good matchup, but you know, he's going to get some catches. He had four catches last week for 45 yards. I think he can contribute there as well. You know, I think he can have 40 to 50 yards on the ground, 40 or 50 through the air, maybe a touchdown, and that's flex worthy.
Interesting. There's no chance I'm starting him against the 49ers. I barely even started Marshawn Lynch against the 49ers last week, but I'm actually glad I did.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to play Marshawn Lynch virtually every week.
Yeah, you know, I just spent so many years watching Buffalo games, and I love his hustle, but I'm just waiting for the wheels to fall off, you know, the Marshawn Lynch bus. And in one of my dynasty leagues, I actually just traded for him, so I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but he's one of those guys that scares me a bit.
Yeah, we actually talked about that trade, and I don't have his age right in front of me. I can pull it up, but he's actually a lot younger than you'd think.
The only thing is,
I think he's 27.
He's what I consider like a double hit guy. He doesn't go down on the first hit, so it's hit and then ram and then ram and then push and then ram. So, I mean, I just, you know, I worry about tread wear on the tires. But anyway. Yeah. Off topic. Just give me your down so we can wrap this up. Who are you down on in the Monday night game?
And, man, talk about killing your fantasy team. If you had Vernon Davis and were thinking you're pretty good at tight end, goose egg, and this is another tough NFC West matchup. You know, I think he's still top 10, but at the top of that list, or I guess at the bottom of that list. So I would not be confident starting him.
So who's our big argument target for this weekend? It's Kendall Wright versus the Colts, correct?
I mean, yeah, but I'm not as gung-ho about that one as I was about Chris Johnson last week, and not as gung-ho as you are about David Wilson every week.
All right, are we done with the David Wilson? Because I'm not bringing up all your bad calls, homie.
Oh, I know, but that's just the one I keep grilling you on. I mean, I can't talk about Percy Harvin. You were dead on that one.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what might happen? You might have David Wilson. No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit back and see what might develop.
Sounds like a plan.
JB, pleasure as always. Thank you very much, Scott, super producer. Let's watch some football on Sunday. And if you want to reach us by Twitter, he's at JB Gilpin, GILPIN. I'm at Nick Capozzi, CAPOZZI. Talk to you soon. That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's Razzball, baby.